Welcome back to the Do It Lions podcast. This is your host, Alicia Solomon, and myself, Megan Hines, where every week we talk the challenge. And we're back once again. We're about the midway point of the season on episode 7 of Challenge All-Stars 4. And we took a trip to Trivia Heights this week. It wasn't a great visit for the most part. Some people got easy answers, easy questions. Somebody really thought that one lady from Britain wrote Lord of the Rings. And I had to be very confused because you are not serious. And this lady who said it was not serious at all. Also, somebody who we've been going at this whole time, last couple of weeks of being a loser, was on once again the biggest loser this episode. Welcome back.
Seems like the same old that we've been talking about. But honestly, like, loser behavior, it never leaves. And I feel like this season, he definitely... It was cramped up a little bit more reading about, you know, what he was going through in his personal life and kind of bringing that onto the show. So it definitely added onto it. But however, he just performed so poorly. And I think especially after coming back from last season where he was a mercenary and they like hyped him up. And I was like, why did Jot even bring him there? So the fact that he had this performance there and this performance was a year prior to that one, it's just like, I don't know if we need to see you back again. I feel like you need to get yourself and your mental right before you circle the block and answer that call to come back on the show, which I know he probably did for 40 anyway.
Yeah, but we'll get to Brad and that long beard later on. But to start the episode, we know Nicole and Ace officially joined the Starholders group, and they now join the Warrior Veronica, Steve, and Cara Maria as the holders of the stars right now. And Veronica made a note that it's like her being saved essentially by Nicole helped forge her new relationship in the game to help her and Tina to save in the game. She has a new ally that she can work with. We'll see how that goes, how far this relationship, partnership of sorts goes. I don't know if it was solid in stone, but Veronica is trying to work her social self within the game. So we'll see how that goes.
I guess it's better than Tina, because we know Tina don't have a social, well, a political game. I would say social is fine, but political, not so much.
Yeah. And also, great congratulations to Ryan for being sober. This was a highlighted moment from this part of the episode beginning and then later on at the table. But he's been sober from alcohol for at least a long time at this point. I don't know how many days is it as of right now, but when he went into the show, he was like a couple months or sober, and he's been doing well. He has a new lease on life, and just props to him for just keeping strong with that, even in this environment where a lot of people are having alcoholic all the time. He's just has the discipline to keep steady and keep going.
Yeah, I think they highlighted he was 8 months sober up until when they were filming, which was over a year ago now. So like you said, it could be longer if he stayed true to it. And he was very proud that he was not in that 9% of people who don't relapse once they, you know, do a detox. So kudos to Ryan for all of that. And yeah, I mean, like you said, the environment kind of sets for people to get wild, be drunk, inebriated in whatever way or fashion. But I think with this older group, it's a little bit easier for people to be disciplined in whatever they're doing. So whether or not you're sober, whatever your lifestyle choice is, whatever you believe in, I feel like people are more inclusive, especially as they're older, because you understand it's life. Like, people have made decisions and want to live a certain way. You just have to respect it.
Yep. And we're going to beat this dead horse of sorts this whole episode because this is time to go. But Brad knew that he was on a losing streak and he needed to break it, because he had things going on at home at the time that needed to get sorted, but it was affecting him and how he was playing mentally. We said this like off air and right this right now. He's not there all the way, and it's really affecting him in the game, and it's not looking great, because the writer we all know from years prior, he's always been a strong endurance type of guy, a little bit has a brain. This time around, not really, and that's really affecting him.
Yeah, I mean, it shows itself more in the challenge as well, but I think just his overall performance this season has been lackluster to say the least. And coming in, I thought Brad was going to be one of the stronger players, no doubt. Like, he's always shown himself to be one of the best competitors, especially from the last seasons of All Stars. Like, he was in the top two or three, so it's not something that was out of the ordinary for Brad to be a high performer. But this season, he came in with baggage that he didn't leave at home. Understandably so, because it happened so soon before he got there. But I just think that it rained on him this whole season, and everyone saw it.
Yep. And like I said, we took a trip to Trivia Heights for this week's daily challenge. And they're playing Face the Facts, where they're played in opposite gendered pairs and they'll be hoisted on a platform over water. And we're asked trivia questions, also spelling questions, one at a time. And if they answered a question incorrectly, they would get a ball dropped in their cylinder. And teams were dropped in the water once they received three balls. The last two teams standing in each round would advance to the winner's round, while the last two of the first rounds went into the losers group. And the winner will be determined in the winner's round, and we are winners for the day. This was a very, I have high hopes for trivia because it's always given us like good laughs and ridiculous answers, which you got. But some of the questions were a lot. There was a mix of like questions that had to do with the game, like past weeks, we had to really remember a lot of stuff, and then just random questions about the challenge history. And then, like I said, we got spelling, and people cannot spell to save their lives.
Yeah, I think this is probably one of the worst trivia I've seen in the more recent years of watching this show. And it was not enjoyable. Like, it really took so long for me to get through it. Like, I watched it in one sitting, but it honestly felt like 4 hours of me watching. I was like, are they not finished with this challenge yet? Like, why is it taking so long? It dragged on. And like you mentioned, the questions, they were a little bit more in context to just challenge history, which is fine. Because they're usually all over the place. But this, I just think the questions in general, like if you're gonna make it in challenge history or whatever, or like, have a mixture of spelling and whatever, just make it a little bit less lopsided. Because for one person to have to spell unbraided and then another person having to spell like Vassar, bruh, like what are we doing? It's just too far of a spectrum. And I get it. It's supposed to trick people up and, you're just the luck of the draw, whatever TJ asks you, or whenever your turn comes. But having to spell like mission and unbraided, like I said, or authority, it's just small things like that. Is like, who don't know how to spell that shit? But I mean, apparently Brad doesn't. But what I would say is that, what I would say is that, like, the amount of lopsidedness that this trivia had, it was honestly enjoyable for me to watch.
Yeah, round one was a doozy. This whole thing was a doozy. Round one had Brad and Flora as partners, Cara Maria and Ace, Derek and Tina, and Cam and Steve. And the first people to get balls in their cylinders were Derek and Tina and Cam and Steve. And the one question that DJ asked Ace and Cara Maria was about the elimination that she did against Rachel about the color scheme of the board that had threw the stars at. This lady said red, yellow, and black. It was red, white, and black. However, it didn't even look like it was white. It was an off-white color. It was like a cream color. It wasn't even white. So that confused me.
I'm not gonna hold you. I don't remember shit from half of the things that they brought up, like the names. It was certain things I was like, bruh, you better than me, because I really don't know. And th it literally was this season. It wasn't like it was the 30-30 questions or the random questions that they were asking from Challenge Pass. Like, all of the things from this season, like the names of the games and all of that, which typically does come up in random times, typically in a mini final or in the final itself, they'll throw these things in where it's like, you need to remember the order of people leaving, or certain things like that, where people usually have a notebook and write things down. So like them asking those challenge questions based on this season, I was not surprised. But I would, like, me as a viewer, I'm not remembering it. And even I recap this, I'm not remembering this shit. Half the names, like, people were getting wrong and they were making up their own names. Like Ace said some random name for a game, and it's just like, bruh, your guess is better than mine because I don't know.
Yeah, no, some games I don't remember mine. I'd have to like look at it and like read it over. because I write them down, but I'm not going to remember on top of my head. They had a swearing portion to start off round one as well. I didn't know what this word was that came out to spell. It was barloche. Barloche? It's actually spelled B-A-R-I-L-O-C-H-E. Cam had the same mindset as me. I thought it would have been like just barloche, B-A-R-L-O-C-E. I thought it would be like that. But it was something else where the I was silent. And I was like, what the heck is this? I don't know what the name, what this word is supposed to be. But sure. Ace spelled consensus wrong. He was trying to spell conscience. And then obviously, Brad could not spell authority for whatever reason. And that meant the teacher.
Yeah, teachers are clearly down bad this week. You know, we got braided teachers. We got Brad up there just doing whatever he want to do. Like, I don't know what's happening in our school systems, but as George Bush once said, no child left behind. Some of these Negroes and people of other colors are getting left. How are you a teacher, bro? And cancel authority. Like, it's honestly, that is so mental. And I'm not saying mental in a bad way, but it's literally all mental. Like, he's really going through it, you can tell. Because in any other circumstance, you would be able to spell authority. But for Brad, it was just a hit or miss. And it was actually like, when he said his profession, I didn't realize that Brad was a teacher, by the way. I didn't know what he did. I thought he was just vibing off life, had kids, doing whatever. I don't care to know. But when he said that he was a teacher... Teaching what is my question. Like, you can't be teaching spelling, clearly. Like, that's not your forte. You can't be teaching English. So what are you teaching the kids? Like, what are you teaching the youth? What are you bringing to society that is helping these kids? Like, what grade is he teaching? I have so many other follow-up questions about his day job, because he be getting off work mad easy too. Like, he be popping up on mad challenges. So are you a para? Like, are you a sub teacher? Like, how you getting off for school for 3 to 6 months or whatever? I mean, now they're filming in a month, so it's a little bit easier to get off work. But what school you teaching, bro?
I don't know. I feel like, I don't think he, I don't want to say this because it sounds rude, but I don't think he teaches a humanities or math or anything, because it shows like he don't know nothing with some of these challenges. I just think he teaches like PE or something. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. That's type, he gives that vibe. But anyways, four also cannot spell maneuver, and I don't know how that word kind of trips people up, but it does, because she spelled it with just a U. And I was like, okay, that was just their downfall. They were the first team out in round one. Could not have a chance because they were getting a lot of things wrong.
Not surprising. Flora hasn't brought anything to this season besides confessionals, and Brad is clearly struggling. So I'm not surprised that they were the first one to go down.
And then Cam and Steve are next as well, off of a weird question as well. And them two teams are the first two to go into the losing bracket. Round two was Jay and Nicole, Veronica, Leroy, Avery and Adam, and Laurel and Ryan. And because I didn't watch Battle of the Exes 2, I didn't know Jay actually won the challenge on that season with him and Jenna. But props to him, but it didn't last him that long because he was getting questions wrong on this one. So it didn't work out for him.
We got a lot of Jay heavy this episode with his confessionals, with him talking about this challenge. Honestly, like I said, when we first started this, I really don't remember much about Jay, except he was attached to Jenna. So I would not have remembered he was a quote unquote trivia champ. I did watch that season. Again, went into the mental Rolodex of the trash for me once the season is over. That's just how I operate. So I didn't remember that at all. But him and Nicole, as Charles Barkley says, it's the barn burner. Like, I don't know what that team was doing. It's, I don't know. Oh, fuck. Oh, Nicole. Ah, oh, Jay. They in there guessing. Just playing. They playing the guessing game. They not even playing trivia.
Because why did Nicole say, when TJ asks, who the South African author who wrote War of the Rings? Why does she say, is that the same person who wrote Harry Potter? Ma'am. It's a woman who wrote Harry Potter that lives in Britain. Okay, the person who wrote Lord of the Rings is an old white man from South Africa. How did you get that totally incorrect? Like, you are a millennial. You were around when Harry Potter was a thing. You were around Lord of the Rings was a thing. How did you not know at least the Harry Potter thing? Like, that just took me down. Like, I had to laugh, or I had to pause and laugh. So I'm like, that lady does not know that. Because, like, that's one of the biggest books ever. And you know that a woman wrote that book. And she's from Britain. That's what stuck with me.
I can't shit on her. I ain't know it either. I don't do the wizards, warlocks. I read one Harry Potter book in third grade and I put that shit down. I never watched a movie. I know Daniel Radcliffe. I know the author is like anti-trans. Like, I don't give a shit about all of that hocus pocus nonsense. So I'm not going to hold you, Nicole. I'm with you. I don't know shit about it. Do your thing. It's somebody with a J. That's all I got for you too. I'm like, who in South Africa is writing this shit? I literally did not know the answer.
Granted, I'm going to say this as much as like I'm saying, like, how you not know that? My first thought was George Orwell's, and I was like, that's not right. Because I wasn't watching Lord of the Rings reading those books, so I didn't know either. But I know for sure that J.K. Rowling is Harry Potter. That's it.
But that guess is good as mine. Like, I know that it's a different book, but I would have said nothing because I just didn't know. But Lord of the Rings, Harry, it's close. It's close enough.
But not the same. Because she was like, is it the same? Like, it's not the same. But yeah. Leroy, Veronica, Russell, a decent team. They were on the cusp for almost getting out, but they were really, really holding in their two balls in their cylinder. Leroy got the question wrong about the national animal of South Africa. I don't know what the springbok is, but shout out to that animal. Leroy thought it was a lion, and it wasn't. But they still held on in round two. So props to Veronica and Leroy for like at least getting themselves to the winner's round. And they also got a swelling section as well, obviously. Acapulco was a word that I knew off the bat. Someone didn't know that. Adam didn't know that word. And I was like, well, cool. He was about to say A-C-C and then whatever else. And that was wrong. They gave Laurel and Ryan the question about this place in Ireland that they were in for one season and how to spell that city or state. I could not spell it for my save my life either. I wouldn't know that either. So that's like a lot of E's and Y's. I couldn't spell that.
Yeah, that's what I said. It was just so lopsided because like 2 seconds earlier, they were like spell unbraided and Veronica spelled. It's like unbraided. Come on now, give me a break. But now you asking me to spell this? Like, I'd have just said, fuck all. Like, I'm just jumping off at this point because y'all just playing in my face. Why would y'all give them that question for that, like, easy word to spell and then give me that? Like, that's why I was just like, this whole game was lopsided in general. And I really was not feeling this trivia. I'm not going to hold you.
Yeah, it was a lot. Adam, okay, I knew this question, but TJ gave Adam and Avery a question of who was the South African actor who played T'Challa's dad in Black Panther? Leroy, acting a fool, said, I'm going to just scream out Morgan Freeman to just throw him off. And I'm like, sir, Morgan Freeman is an American man from here. But shout out to John Connie for playing T'Chaka, okay? Rest in peace, T'Chaka, because that was horrible. But yeah, Adam got that wrong, and him and Avery got out.
I'm not going to hold you. I'd have been out too. Don't know. Don't know. And I know Black Panther is one of the staples in our community, but child, please, I don't know. Like, I saw it. I could tell you what he looks like. Couldn't tell you a name.
I remembered it because I was, like, going through who played the dads, like, from, like, the flashback with Sterling playing Eric Kamonger's daddy. And then I remembered who the chocolate was. And I was like, oh, it's an older man. It's like, oh, John Connie. I remember that. But I was, like, knee-deep in Marvel stuff, so I remembered that. So after round two, Adam Avery and J. Nicole were, oh no, Adam Avery and Laura Ryan were the next two teams to be out. And we had gone to the winner's round. And they had to figure out at one point on question. This is for Ace and Cara Maria, naming the colors of the couches in the house. And Cara was like, oh yeah, it's green and gray. Ace like, no, I think it's green and white. When they showed us tape of Ace just literally on couches, sleep, head first in the couch. And they got it wrong. They switched their answer like, I'm going to go green and white. And it was green and gray.
I mean, I know we complained a little bit about Ace not being on the show, but he's just so just there. Like, he's not even on planet Earth. Does he really just be vibing? Like, when he got the star last week, he literally was just like, okay. Like, he's so awkward, but it's not in a way where you're cringing. It's kind of like, that's just who he is, and you just got to accept it or not. So, like, him falling asleep, I mean, he's asleep. Why would he remember a couch? But you're living in the space, so I would think that you would pick up on it. But again, these questions are dumb.
Yeah, because why would I count how many chairs we have in our dining room?
But that's a good, I'm sorry. That is actually a good guess when Jay said how many people we have, because literally, how many people do we have? Like, that would be the amount. I would get that. Like, that's like something more like logical where you could deduce and be like, all right, there was 24 people in here. I'm sure they will put 24 chairs to fit the amount of people. But questions about the color of the shit, you spelling mission, it's like dumb shit like that. What is this?
Like, the question about how many toilets were in the house too, I was like, I don't know. I don't go in every bathroom. I wouldn't have got that. But it was 7 toilets they had in the house. I wouldn't have known that until they did this question. But that was a very random question. Like, I don't think about how many toilets are in a room or in a house. I don't. If, like,
in people, a situation like that, you might, though, because you need to know what bathroom you can use and who's staying and where. It's like things that you can, like I said, deduce. We have 24 people in here. Okay, how many rooms is there? How many, like, because you're sharing a communal space, you're going to remember things like that because you're going to think about the layout and count and things like that. But random color schemes, again, it's just like, where are we on the spectrum of asking questions and trying to be logical? I don't know. We've lost the plot.
Yeah. And then they had the spelling section of the winner's round. I didn't know what bride was until they showed the spelling on it. I probably would have said the same thing as Nicole. Vassar, like you said earlier, I would have said faster, the way that's spelled. I would have said that. I would not have said VRSAR. I would have said VASSAR. That's how that would have been. And that question actually got Ace and Car Maria out of the round, the Vassar question. Jay and Nicole could not name the longest river in South Africa, which was the Orange River, and that got them out of the round as well, which left us with Derek and Tina and Veronica and Leroy as the last two winners, teams in the winner's round. And Derek and Tina could not get the answer for the biggest rainforest in South Africa. It's not Sudan. I don't think they told us which one it was. And that meant that Veronica and Leroy were our winners for this daily. I guess Veronica's Berkeley education helped her, and Leroy's guesses helped him as well.
Sure. Shout out to Veronica for clocking in and doing something. Leroy, congratulations on your first daily win. I mean, cool. I really don't have much commentary on them winning. It's just now the politics of who's going in, whether Leroy decides or not if he wants to go down into elimination and get a star for Cam. Like, what's the gameplay around that? And I think because we got so many Ryan confessionals heavy, I figured that he would be in a losing group. And, you know, then we got Adam. So basically Brad, Adam, Steve, and Ryan made up the losing group, and they had to choose between those four men because it was a men's elimination. And everyone kind of was just like, oh, we're off Steve. Like, no one's going to pick Steve to go down, which I'm kind of like, why are y'all just giving him an easy layup? Like, what has he done for y'all to be giving him the win like that? But okay, cool, whatever. So it just goes to basically, who do we want to see down there? Like, what's the giving? And I feel like this was the perfect opportunity, honestly, to just throw Brad in because he ain't been doing shit. Like, Brad has just been not here with us, clocked out, and it's kind of just been not even hit or miss. It's just been miss with Brad. It's L after L all season with him. So I wasn't mad at them trying to throw him down, but the dinner party or the little gathering that they had was hilarious because, you know, Leroy made a little speech. And again, this is why I said Ace got more camera time. And we, you know, finally get a little bit more Ace content in here. But maybe we should be careful of what we're asking for. Because this man decided to get up and just talk straight nonsense. Straight nonsense, okay? I'm a king. This person's a knight. We got challenge gods. Bro, I don't know if he was reading too much Lord of the Rings or whatever hocus pocus bullshit that is. But child, put the wine down and go to sleep on the couch. Do something else. Because that was just... If I was at dinner, I'd have just been eating my food and been like, all right, so when are we all leaving?
That story time was, I did not know where that was going with Ace. I did not know. And the way that it ended, he was like, oh, and Adam and Brad. And we were like, so basically, he wants Adam and Brad to go in. That's what he was thinking. I'm like, well, how did we get here? I was very confused. Like, he was just talking. And I like Ace. I enjoy him for what we get from him. But that had me very confused on the story, where it was going. He inadvertently put a target on Adam Brad says for what reason. I don't know. And apparently him and Brad have been cool for like the last 20 years. And he decides to randomly do that. I'm like, are you, now I'm like thinking, like, are you playing aloof, or if this is just like strategy at this point? Like, you know, I know we don't get much of him, but I feel like sometimes he uses his aloofness and just like, oh yeah, I'm just here as like a way just to get by and kind of be a little snarky, and it comes off funny. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that that's definitely probably the good assessment of what he is, because he's so unexpected that some things kind of just, he blabbers off and you're like, oh, okay. But once you sit back and think about it, it's like, oh, okay, this is what you actually think. And so for him to kind of throw that jab of, you know, Brad and Adam at the end and not really speaking to Brad beforehand, which is what got Brad upset, it's kind of like, all right, you just tossing things out in the air and just seeing whatever sticks. It's like, dude, you didn't talk to your friend for 20 years. And I get it, like, it's a game, so I wouldn't go too personal. But, you know, Brad was going through his personal situation, so he kind of just felt like he was being piled on top of his friend piling more on him to make everyone be like, all right, this is a good assessment, let's just throw Brad in the mix. And it kind of sucks, because I feel like he probably wanted more support, and especially with him, with Ace and Kara being probably the two closer people to Brad in the house. If Ace is on that page, he probably felt like maybe that's also coming a little bit from Kara unexpectedly too, you know. So it's kind of just him not having the support that he wanted to in the house. And I just thought it was funny that that was the first thing that Ace wanted to do, was just throw his name out there and just not even really have a true conversation behind it, and just was like, all right, so everybody, that's it. That's the end of my story. It's kind of like, bruh, that's not really, like, what you talking about?
Yeah, I get it. Like, if it was somebody else, I'll make it, yeah. It's facts. Like, you don't want to see Brad and Fadi, you don't want to see Adam. But coming from Ace, it was just a lot of, out of left field. But because, like, Brad was with, like, I'm mad. I'm about to go for Ace Tar if I come back. Like, that's it. And Adam was game to pin himself into Nation, because at this point, he just wants to go get a star and just go into Nation at this point. Like, we're halfway through the season. Like, you have to be in a mindset to go into Nation to get a star, steal a star, because the final is around the corner. Granted, we've got a lot of people still left in the house. But if you don't have a star at this point, what are you doing for your game? But as we get closer to when the final hits, it'll be a little bit more crazy, because I saw in the preview, the girls are fighting. But before all that, we get to the nomination, and Jay kicks off the vote, saying Adam and Ryan. And Derek, being Ryan's good Judy, he's like, I'm not voting for Ryan. That man is hurt. I'm going to stick out my neck for him. Like, I'm riding with him. He's not on the table. And he votes for Adam and Brad, because that's the logical vote for him in his eyes. And everybody else kind of goes down the line, and it's still a bit split, but most people are like saying, for sure, it's going to be Adam.
Yeah, I thought one of the funnier parts of the episode was when Ryan was mocking Tina about not being decisive, because Tina has shown her hand in how she played with Rachel and voting her in. And he just mocked her so well. He was just like, oh, no, no, no. He was just, it was inaudible, but it was just the noise that he made behind it was just so funny, because it really did give Tina. But yeah, she was, again, undecisive in that moment too. Like, she was just throwing it out that she was like, I don't really know, I'll go with Adam. But then she was kind of flip-floppy on who she should pick after. Should she pick Brad? Should she pick Steve? Like, or should she pick Ryan? She didn't know what she wanted to do. And I think that's one of the flaws in Tina's game. It's like, girl, you gotta put your foot down. Because in every other category, like, Tina can put her foot down and make her mark be known. But this one, it's like, why out of all the things, this is the one that's getting you stuck? I don't get that. But it is what it is. She did end up making a vote, and they went with Adam and Brad. Not surprising.
Yep, because Kara also made a point that, like, at this point, Brad is not an optimal running mate in the final, and as like they get towards the end, because he's just not there, and she doesn't want to be partners with him if it comes down to being partners with somebody. So, like I said, the vote is Brad and Adam, and Ace said he voted for Brad because Ryan gave him snacks. That logic is just out of nowhere. Like, I have no words for that logic, but it is what it is.
What Martin said, you a grown damn man.
But Ace didn't make any promises to Brad about how he was going to function the game. So if I ain't making no promises to you to keep you safe, then it's every man for themselves. I'm going to find somebody else to stick my neck out for, because it wasn't going to be him. That was just funny. And after that, we got to the arena, and they're playing cheat codes. And the guys have to press a button on a game controller and reveal a cheat code that they must replicate by pushing buttons on their own controllers with their feet. The first to replicate the code wins. After TJ explains the game, he asks Leewa, who was the winner, if he wants to come down and nab another star. He looked at that, and he was like, vehemently, hell no, I'm not doing that. Y'all got it. Y'all be easy. I'm not doing this. And I was like, I respect it, because I don't think Leewa would have won this invasion if he got in here.
Not at all.
Mm-mm. He had good self-awareness on that point. I'm like, I'm not going in. I knew I'm not going to win this. I'm not going to do this. So they get started. Adam's strategy is very slow and steady while in doing like at least one or two pieces at a time, while Brad is doing four or five at a time. And once again, that was not the smart strategy for him, because he at one point towards the end was like, this isn't working for me. But he also kept, Derek knows that he kept hitting the start enter spaces. And I'm like, what are you doing? That's not helping you at all.
Again, Brad has been missing all season mentally, and this was no different. Like, he thought he was ready to go in, you know, just to compete. And it ended up him beating his own self, essentially, and really not being clocked in. I mean, Adam was ready from the get-go. Like, he already knew his name was being put out there, and he honestly was petitioning himself. So once he got in there, he kind of figured all bets are off. He knows Brad isn't there mentally, so it's no real, like, fight for him to just lock in. And I think that's what we saw in the difference of between Brad and Adam. Adam was locked in, Brad was not. And yeah, that was just the demise of Brad.
Yep. So Brad is just out the game. Adam stays, and Adam gets the star back from Ace, who was keeping it wrong from him. And the way that Ace looks like, oh yeah, take it back, I'm cool. Derek is like, huh? That don't make sense to me. Like, you're just so like nonchalant about just letting your star go. Like, ain't no just about it. But he's like, well, I want my star, and I'm gonna try and hold on to it as best I can. He didn't have no talk back. But because Ace and Adam are cool, Ace is like, it's whatever. It's fine. You got it, friend. Here's your star back. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's just the story of Ace, just who he is, or who he portrays himself to be, which I'm sure is who he is in real life. He's just really, really blasé, and that's not in a negative way, but he's just really chill. And so, I mean, Derek has been showing out this whole season. He has been competing really hard, been in the top groups and challenges. So Derek definitely wants this. He has a little bit more of a hunger that's being shown, where Ace is like, he can compete, but it's whatever, you know? So, and I think that we're going to see that moving forward, especially into next week with the preview of Kara and Laurel and Nicole. Like, it's just a lot going on in that clip in the preview. So it's definitely going to turn up a little bit more next week, which I'm excited to see.
Yeah, they've been playing nice. It was just a matter of time for Kara and Laurel to butt heads, because it's always something with them two. And then you put in Nicole and then Cam as well. So the young ladies of the season are about to turn it up next week, which will be interesting after this dud of an episode for the most part. And with that, we're going to get into the music segment, where every season of All-Stars, there's always a good soundtrack, and ain't no better than this episode where we got like some decent songs to go along with it. My first song is the Kelly Rowland song that played in the beginning of the episode, Like This. It's just so nice. It's a nice little palate cleanse. When I first heard it, when it played, I was doing a TikTok dance in my head. That went viral last year, and it was so cute, but I like that song. And then also Cupid Shuffle, that came on at the end of the episode, and it was really reminiscent of back in the day. And it was fitting for the animation as well, where the guys were trying to shuffle around on the controller to try and figure out the puzzle.
Yeah, those were really the only two notable songs from this week for me. So yeah, I mean, Cupid Shuffle, like you said, it went with the elimination itself. And then Kelly Rowland, I think, very underrated in her solo career and what she brought to the music industry. So I definitely enjoyed hearing that in the beginning of the episode. So yeah, that wraps up this week in the recap. We will be back next week to discuss more of the Challenge All-Stars. If you would like to follow us on Twitter, you can at Duel Lions Pod. You can follow us individually. You can follow Megan at Megs and Hines, and you can follow myself at ace_s5. And if you are listening to this podcast, you can watch this on YouTube at Duel Lions Podcast, and you can like, comment, and subscribe, and we'll be back for more next week. Bye.
Bye. Listen to the show.